Let her be. She's saving us.
I swooped down and sprayed the men with fire until bonfires dotted the fields. We circled the city hungrily, awaiting more signs of movement, but nothing else stirred. The undead army lay smoldering. I sent my mind out, probing, but I was certain none of the Seeking Stones survived the onslaught. A babble of voices erupted again, excited and joyful. I was more cautious, arrested by a sense of wrongness. They are coming, the Ozzy's mind boomed, already reaching out to the horizon.
It's not over,
Fox said, voice brittle and bleak.
They're coming.
It was not the dead that came in droves this time, but the army of the living, in gleaming armor with polished swords, marching toward the city of Keon. From their flank streamed the flag of Odalia, flashing bright gold and red. Zoya might not be sure if the Duke led this attack, but the presence of Odalian soldiers made a compelling argument for it.
We need to leave now,
Kaelin said, putting my own thoughts into words.
They will keep attacking Keon as long as we remain in the city. There is no more time, Your Majesty.
And what of Inessa?
Empress Alix demanded.
She will not be safe here. That is out of our hands. If the Faceless can infiltrate the palace, then she and Kansa's Heart's Glass will be safest by the Dark Asha and the Heartforger's side, wherever that may be.
Mother and daughter looked at each other without speaking. Finally, the older woman reached out and hugged her daughter.
I should have let you make your own decisions, she said roughly, unshed tears salting her voice. Protect your betrothed's heart, Inessa, and may the gods watch over you.
Zoya spoke up.
I'd like to know how we are leaving the city, surrounded as we are.
Wordlessly, Fox pointed toward the sky.
Again?
You can either stay or join us, Zoya. I won't force you on the Ozzy if you're not comfortable with it, I replied.
You say comfortable. I say it's a freaking flying three-headed dragon, you sod.
I don't think we have much choice, Zoya, Shadi said gently. The Asha looked at her, squared her shoulders.
I did give my word, didn't I? But you have every right to refuse, Shad.
I go where you go, Zoya. We promised each other. The doe-eyed Asha took Zoya's hands in hers, and the normally abrasive girl blushed.
I'm going, Khalid said quietly.
So am I,
Lick said immediately.
I cannot.
Heads turned toward Althi.
Someone needs to stay and ensure the city remains protected after you are gone. Zahid and most of the Death Seekers are away from Keon, and among the other Asha, I am the most qualified to take command. We cannot leave Ankyo open for the taking, Your Majesty. And I, for one, cannot leave Mikaela and Polaire alone.
But what about my daughter?
You will not find worthier people than them, Alix. They have fought worse demons than I have, and saved this city more times than you are aware of.
Althi smiled at us.
I trust them. Zoya, you know Denorian, so I expect you to take charge.
Zoya sighed.
I am surrounded by heroes.
I opened my eyes.
We need to get out of Keon. Tell them to open the gates for us and to keep as many men away from it as possible.
That will be difficult, Althi murmured. To leave the city defenses unmanned might provoke the soldiers to step up their attack.
They won't, I promised. But whatever you do, don't distract me. I want to keep my hold as tight as possible.
Althi nodded.
May the blade's path guide your way, Tia. Protect the princess. I will do everything in my power to hold down the fort here.
I clasped her hands. Althi, remember what I told you about the elder Asha.
Tia.
Don't let them near Polaire or Mikaela. Promise me.
The Asha looked troubled but nodded.
I swear it.
We will help them, Tia,
Rahim promised.
I am Tressayan. It is in my blood to fight. and Chesh and all the rest. We will help protect the city with the Empress and Altesia until you come back. So you must come back.
I tried to smile, but the Deva's thought slammed back into mine. My stomach plummeted as it dove straight toward the center of the army, and I forced it back toward the sky without inflicting any casualties, though a trail of arrows followed in our wake. I goaded all three mouths into opening again, and the resulting fire raked across the regiments in front, a blazing line in the ground that prevented them from pushing forward. I could feel Fox lifting me again, felt him run. I heard sounds of battle and the surge of magic as we fought our way out of the palace. And then I heard Chief close by, nickering, and Fox murmuring softly to the stallion. I could see Death Seekers and Asha engaging the soldiers. Capitalizing on the Ozzy's work, they summoned more fire runes until a wall of flames faced the army. The Death Seeker Ostri was calling out orders, and at his command, sharp stalagmites burst from the ground, a natural defense against attackers. I heard Inessa cry out from somewhere behind us, sensed Fox hesitating.
"Protect the princess, Fox."
Kaelin's voice drew closer.
"I'll stay with Tia."
I felt him take my brother's place, pressing me against his chest as he took command of Chief. I leaned into his warmth. I shifted tactics. The Deva made for the entrance of the city, landing with such force that the whole of Kion shuddered. The Death Seekers had retreated, Ostri and Alzrin yelling at their companions not to provoke the Ozzy. We deliberately turned our backs on them, bayed thirstily at the Adalians to do their worst. A fireball came out of nowhere straight toward us. My first instinct was to dodge it, but the human part of our mind was screaming, reminding me that the people behind me would be the first to suffer from that choice. Deva were immune to most forms of attack, but not to pain, and the Ozzy hissed as the fire licked at its skin. "There are spellbinders in the Odalian army, Fox," I hissed, and he started. "Send word to Althi to investigate the Asha and Deathseekers in Ankyo. There may be more traitors hiding there." In the distance, something flared. "A Seeking Stone!" Another flare lit up among the soldiers, and then another. The men, once so hesitant to fight, went rigid, unnaturally silent. And then, as one, they shuffled forward.
"Fox, tell the others to stay back!"
The army picked up speed. I swept my mind out into the crowd, reaching for the stones, and encountered a barrier. The men kept running, swords falling uselessly from their hands. This was a suicide mission, a show of force. If the Ozzy didn't kill them, they would dash their brains out against the city walls. I searched for the Seeking Stones a second time and encountered a compulsion so great my mind snapped back from the force. If I had not been inside the Deva's mind, if the Ozzy had not pushed away that corrupting magic, I could have easily been turned.
"Death Seekers, to me!"
I heard Ostri yell. I felt another surge of magic as shield runes popped up behind us, braced for impact. The Ozzy struggled, eager to defend itself, but I forced my full will on the beast, shouting at it to keep still. "Do not move! Do not hurt them!" The rot rune appeared under the soldier's feet a second before the ground disintegrated. The opposing army slid down the steep embankment as a large sinkhole opened beneath them, deep enough to make climbing out difficult.
"It's Althi!"
Zoya was awestruck.
"She's literally sweeping them off their feet!"
From within that strange barrier, I finally found cracks I could slip through amid the confusion and located the stones.
"Kaelin!"
Fox yelled. The Death Seeker and I had outpaced the others, mostly because of Chief.
"Right field, by the flag bearer."
Kaelin scanned the army quickly and wove the air around us. Bursts of wind and fire spiraled out, directed toward the location Fox had shouted, and snatched the Seeking Stones with accuracy, leaving flames in their wake. Fox called out more locations, using my sight for his own, and Kaelin stole them away, gathering them all in the air above us. I briefly shook myself free from the Ozzy's mind to weave the strangle rune around them. The sound of the seeking stones shattering gave me immense satisfaction. I could feel rage and consternation. And then the unseen mind was gone. The soldiers stumbled and fell to their knees, shaking their heads groggily. Many had collapsed, unconscious, but their lives were intact. I could feel Fox and the others arriving at the city gates, Princess Anessa screaming at the Death Seekers to let them through. I opened the doors of my own mind to the Ozzy, felt it snake its way in, closing around me like a fitted glove. Through the Ozzy's eyes, I saw Lick and Princess Anessa shrinking back, and Zoya bravely standing her ground in front of Shadi despite the fear in her eyes. Alzrin and Mavrin tensed, but Ostri remained where he was, his mouth open as our three heads bowed to him.
Tia?
Those two syllables left his mouth in a near squeak. I laughed. The Ozzy rumbled. In this form, they looked strange, almost grotesque, as if it were them and not us who were the unnatural beasts. Play, I told the Ozzy, searching its memories and latching onto a vision of another city of stonework and marble, its ivory domes unmistakable. The Ozzy cawed, and its wide wings lowered. I felt the group scrambling up our back, and a,
"Y'all really gonna climb up that?"
from Mavrin. We explored the fallen soldiers for any remnants of that powerful mind, and found none. Deathseekers and Asha were hard to surprise. After their initial amazement, they went to work, grabbing our trunks and tossing them up to my companions.
"Wouldn't want you ladies naked in Dinoris,"
Levy guffawed, always the quickest to find levity in any situation.
"Come back in one piece, you reckless loonies!"
Ostri yelled at us. We rose, Zoya leaving more invectives in our wake as we flew at breakneck speed. The city of Kion was soon gone, replaced by an endless landscape of trees and mountains. The wind gave little opportunity for conversation, and it was all the others could do to cling to us as we flew. The land soon disappeared, and the crisp blue waters of the Swift Sea took its place. It felt like eons had passed before I saw approaching land. The heights of mountains at a distance, though it must have only been an hour. The Ozzy called out a warning as it descended, and we soon found ourselves standing in the kingdom of Dinoris, dirt and heat rising around us with the pearl roofs and spiral towers of its capital city, Santhiang, only half a day's ride away.
A new sound reached our ears, an explosion. At this, the Bone Witch abandoned her story to rush toward the window. She stared eagerly out at the carnage below. Large fireballs rose and fell, consuming the dark Asha's undead by the dozens. Still more fire rained down on Santiang, and I froze in fear, imagining the Asha's efforts to protect the Dinorian citizens coming to naught should the city burst into flames. Before anyone could stop him, the Death Seeker leaped out the window. The dark Asha's cry was drowned out by the cawing of the Ozzy, who swooped in and caught him easily. Kaelin swung up on its back as it made for the army. The Bone Witch inhaled noisily, let her breath out slowly. "That idiot," she muttered. "I wonder where he learned that trick," the Heartforger drawled. "Shut up, Kalad." The Ozzy flew into the path of the fireballs heading our way. A current ran through my body, sparks singing through the air as Lord Kaelin's magic took hold. Almost immediately, ice crept up around the incoming flames, freezing and turning them into rocks that shattered in midair, their pieces falling uselessly back to earth. Every attempt by the enemy Asha was quickly repelled, and the Death Seeker was quick to turn the battleground to his advantage. New hurricanes savaged the area, and what legions of the army had retained their formations, despite the undead assault, were soon dispersed by the whirling tempest. But the army's Asha had not been idle. I could see the earth breaking up underneath some of the cadavers, saw many of them falling into the pits. The girl smiled, and I could feel the crackling of energy around her. The Zivar pinned to my shirt grew hot to the touch.
Mickey must have learned that from Altesia, I heard her murmur to herself. But she forgets the one glaring difference between humans and corpses.
She lifted her arms, fingers moving deftly. More cries and shouts of alarm came as the corpses reconstituted themselves and clawed their way back to the surface. Limbs reattached and heads returned to their bodies as the dark Asha's magic took hold again, willing ashes and bone back to life. Now I saw the wisdom of bringing these undead from every grave she could find in Denoris and burying them before the city. Already the army was demoralized and broken, and the Deva still waited beyond, refreshed and eager to participate. The army retreated, carrying their dead and injured with them. I watched them disappear over the hill, while the corpses stood like rotting mannequins. The Ozzy returned with the triumphant Death Seeker. The Bone Witch rushed to him, giving him little time to respond as she took his face and kissed him hard.
"You are to never do that again," she panted when they finally broke apart. "For a moment, I had forgotten that you were... that you were..."
There was a boyish grin on Lord Kalin's usually serious face. "Call it payback from last time."
"Shut up," the girl said,
and kissed him again.
18. "How could you not tell us that your pet could get from Keon to Denoris in one day?"
Zoya was not having a very good morning. We were camped outside Santhiang, Denoris' capital, to finish our preparations. The Ozzy had long since left. None of us wanted another panic, much less in a potentially hostile city. I could still feel it nearby, making itself at home in a nearby forest.
"It never came up in conversation before, and I've never been to Denoris."
I felt ridiculous changing into an elaborate hua in the middle of nowhere, but there were delegates to consider. The presence of the Ozzy had not gone unnoticed, and a small contingent of ambassadors, diplomats, and three times as many soldiers had arrived barely an hour after the Ozzy's departure. Though they were most respectful, with Zoya and Shadi fluent in Denorian to prevent any misunderstandings, they were also very insistent that we meet the Emperor immediately. The look Zoya shot my way was scathing.
"Well, there better not be any more surprises. We're treading on unknown territory, and your Deva isn't helping matters any. Can you keep a leash on your Ozzy at this distance?"
"Distance doesn't really mean anything to us."
"Good. Let Shadi and me do all the talking. Back me up even when it sounds like I don't know what in Mithra's ass I'm talking about."
Zoya smoothed her dress. We were all decked out in our best hua, Inessa included, while Kalin, Khalid, and Fox dressed in gray woolen robes. It was odd to see Kalin in clothing that wasn't black, and it was clear that the Death Seeker didn't like it. Zoya was uncharacteristically meticulous, fussing over each of us.
"You're going to have to take the lead at some points, Your Majesty," she told the princess. "You're going to be speaking for all of Keon, and it's necessary to be assertive. Keep Prince Khansa's heart's glass hidden at all times. Have you ever been here before?"
"Once, on a ceremonial visit. Mother did most of the talking."
"Channel as much of your mother as you're able to. I'll be whispering in your ear every now and then, like I'm your closest advisor. The Emperor's own council does this frequently, so it won't seem out of place."
Zoya sighed.
"They've waited long enough. Let's get this over with."
A crowd had gathered by the time we entered the city. As we were led down the streets, the people knelt, touching their foreheads to the ground.
"The Emperor has his subjects well trained,"
Kalin murmured softly, and received a sharp jab in the side from Zoya. There were certain similarities between Keon and Santhiang. The roads here were narrower, but the sharp roofs and curved arches so popular in Ankyo had first taken root here. Keon was constructed with aesthetics in mind, but Santhiang was built with utilitarian intent. The walls were made of a mix of wood and concrete. Though roughly hewn and unpainted, all looked capable of lasting for decades. We passed sturdy houses and well-maintained pavements, all in varying shades of gray. Most of the people wore short robes and sandals,
and I saw nothing in their dress to distinguish among different professions and trades. The only magic I could sense were in the hua and zavars we wore. No one we passed wore anything bespelled. Nobody wore heart's glass. It would take considerably more effort to use magic on someone without one. A clear disadvantage for Asha.
Something doesn't feel right,
Lick said nervously. Zoya wove a rune in the air. It sputtered against her fingers.
Still works, she said, but it's not as strong as it should be.
If runic magic isn't used here, then how did the sleeping Denoran princess acquire a heart's glass of her own?
Fox asked Kalad. The forger shrugged.
Master thinks it was a foreigner. I don't think it was an Asha, though. That would have caused a stir, and Princess Yancheo wouldn't have understood its significance. Most Denorans think heart's glass are nothing more than pretty trinkets.
Makes what happened to her even more heartless, Fox said. Literally.
The Denoran palace was the only spot of color in the city. Pearl white and luminescent, it was ringed by golden towers and sloped roofs, which shone like ivory. As we approached, I saw the reason why. The exterior was covered in marble slates, polished until they reflected the sunlight. I shuddered to think how hot it would be in the height of summer.
They have an extensive irrigation system that pipes cold and hot water into the rooms within, and can be adjusted according to preference,
Shoddy murmured.
It keeps the palace temperate, no matter the weather.
Something felt wrong the instant we stepped inside. Zoya stiffened, her fingers moving.
Wards, she whispered. Someone warded the whole palace?
I could see the barriers writhing above us, tied in complicated knots. I sketched out compulsion, but nothing happened. I pressed my hand against the protection stone I wore around my neck, but found no response to it either. I tried scrying, to similar effect. These wards were stronger than those in Einar's jail if not even the false runes worked.
We should have expected this, Shoddy said softly. Magic is banned in Denoris. Whoever was responsible was also very thorough. And extremely competent.
Master never mentioned these protections, though, Colin said. This was added recently.
Lick stared intently at the ceiling, at the magic beyond our grasp.
They may be more complicated than the wards around Ina, but they don't look all that different from the spells we wove into Zavar at Chesh's,
he murmured.
Will this put us at a disadvantage?
Not completely. I reached out with my mind, felt my brother's response, his comfortable nearness. Moving farther out, I detected faint thoughts from the Aussie. Our connection was not as strong as I was expecting, but it was assuaging to know our link had not been severed. The Aussie was drifting lazily somewhere in the middle of the swift sea. I tried to nudge it with my mind, tried to get it to turn around, and found that I couldn't.
My bond with Tia is intact,
Fox confirmed.
And the Deva?
Zoya asked. Not quite. I can sense it, but it doesn't respond to my commands.
Isn't that bad? Lick asked. Who's controlling it while you're here?
It's not going to attack.
How sure can you be? It's a Deva.
I've been inside its head. It doesn't like cities. Unless someone else controls it. Zoya groaned. Even the floors and walls were made of marble. I could hear the soft rushing of water from somewhere nearby as we were led down large hallways. Servants and courtiers stopped to kneel as we passed, their foreheads pressed to the floor as the people outside had done. At the end of a very long corridor stood two heavy doors. A band of trumpets sounded, and the doors opened almost instantly. The throne room was even more ostentatious than the one at Keon. It was a dazzling display of white, from the embossed columns to the large open windows shaded by soft curtains. Golden banners hung from the ceiling, and my heart's glass wavered when I saw they bore the silhouette of a three-headed yellow dragon, the Emperor's personal crest. In the wake of such rich displays, Emperor Shifang stood out like an afterthought. He sat on a gilded throne that looked more expensive than all our Hua combined. I was curious. Common folk were not allowed to look on the Emperor's face, and at the last Darashi Oyun he attended nearly 2 years ago, his head had always been veiled. But the Emperor wore no concealment now. He was tall with long black hair, curiously intense dark eyes, and while on the slim side, was easily one of the handsomest men I'd ever seen, rivaling even Prince Khan's. His robes were heavily embroidered and wrapped in gold foil, and jewels adorned his wrists and fingers. 3 dragons were carefully embroidered in his robes, entwined so closely that they gave off the appearance of being only one creature. The Emperor of Denoris rose to his feet, and the people in the room genuflected. I stood uncertainly, unsure if I was expected to follow suit, but Zoya stood straight and proud, and we followed her lead. The Emperor made a speech in Denorin in a surprisingly firm tone, his eyes never leaving Princess Anessa's face. Zoya stepped forward and delivered her own speech, her confident voice echoing in the room. We were introduced, and the Emperor looked surprised to find that I was the Dark Asha.
"How can one so small and harmless-looking command such power?" Shadi translated.
Clearly, the Emperor and I were starting off on the wrong foot. Khalad was announced as a healer. Fox and Kaelin, bodyguards to Anessa and me, respectfully. The princess's movements were likely to be restricted, so Fox and I decided our bond would help us keep in contact without arousing suspicion. The Emperor asked Zoya a question, and she responded, gesturing at me to step forward.
"What are you telling him?"
Princess Anessa muttered without visibly moving her lips.
"He talked at length about your beauty and waxed poetic about your eyes, princess,"
Zoya said quietly.
"I won't bother you with the details, but he wants to know more about the Ozzy, considering they patterned their royal crest after it. Speak clearly, Tia, with as little information as you can divulge. The Emperor won't understand us, but some of his advisors will. This is for their benefit."
We'd already discussed what I would say, but speaking before an audience always made me nervous, and another headache was forming.
"I am the Keeper of the Dragon," I announced. "We have come from Qian to pay our respects to the Emperor of Illustrious Denoris, for whom we hold high esteem. We wish to foster a closer alliance with His Majesty, and are pleased to be given the opportunity to do so. We regret that we cannot bring the dragon into the city, for it fears enclosed spaces and always yearns for open sky. But we have summoned it here, as a sign that we wish good fortune upon your kingdom."
Emperor Shifang smiled. He turned toward his audience and made an announcement in strident tones. A hushed whisper spread among his courtiers and nobles. Zoya remained calm and composed, and the faint blue tinge blooming in her heart's glass was my only warning. She launched into another monologue, addressing the Emperor directly, but the royal cut her off with a curt wave of his hand. A dismissal.
"What's going on, Zoya?"
Anessa asked again. The Asha's face was set.
"The Emperor has gotten it into his head that you are here to offer yourself in marriage, Your Highness. He said this was the agreement your mother sent him as part of your visit to Denoris."
"That's impossible!"
To her credit, Princess Anessa's face was outwardly serene and smiling, though the words issuing out of the side of her mouth were anything but.
"I'm already engaged. Surely he knows that."
"Nobility from other kingdoms are beneath them, Your Highness. They believe that any contracts they make supersede those of other nations. Either your mother agreed to this betrothal or some miscommunication occurred between the envoys."
"No, this stinks of my mother's schemes. I was wondering why she was so adamant that I not come with you. He will not be happy if I refuse, will he?"
"We don't have much choice," Kaelin said tersely. "As long as these wards remain, we can do little. We need to find the source of the magic."
Emperor Shifang might not have understood us, but I supposed our body language spoke volumes. His eyes turned flinty, and the next words issuing out of his mouth had a threatening air about them. Immediately, there was a clanking noise as the guards in the throne room lifted their spears, their tips leveled at us.
"So much for diplomacy," Shadi murmured. "How goes the day for summoning Tia?"
"Oblivious to my commands. So I assume asking the Deva to rain down fire is out of the question?"
No. Princess Anessa shook her head. I'd like to scale back on the calamities. We've had enough misadventures. We must find the Heartforger, and that will be difficult with the whole country in chaos. The Emperor might be fond of your Ozzy, but I suspect his people want nothing to do with it. She stepped forward.
Emperor Shifang,
she began, her voice strong with none of the anger and frustration she'd expressed only seconds ago.
The first daughter of Qian agrees to your offer. We hope that this engagement will mark the start of a new and better alliance between Unkyo and Dinoris, and that prosperity shall smile down on both our kingdoms with this union.
She turned toward Zoya, who was staring at her.
Make sure you translate that properly, Zoya.
Are you certain about this, Your Highness?
As you said, there are undoubtedly a few advisors here who understood me, so there's no going back. It will give us the freedom to find the Heartforger and several days' respite, while I think of a way to turn him down without insulting another kingdom.
The guards' spears retreated. The Emperor smiled broadly, the epitome of congeniality once more, and stepped down from his throne to take Princess Anessa's hands in his own. Another court official, an elderly man with a long beard and a tall hat, scuttled forward and made several more announcements. To this, a younger man began to protest. They argued for a few minutes before the Emperor interrupted them both with an irritated wave. The two men bowed and shuffled away, scowling at one another. Collett frowned.
That younger man, he said. He looks familiar. I believe he knows the Master.
That's unusual, Kaelin said. The younger man wishes to postpone the ceremony to a later date, while the other wants to carry out the king's orders without delay.
You speak Dinoran? I asked.
I understand the language better than I speak it. The old man's name is Tan Sung and the other Bao Yi. We might have some trouble with the latter. He believes we're swindlers out to fleece the king, and he's ready to send us to the hangman's block if he has his way.
There was a certain smugness to the older official's voice as he announced that the next 2 weeks would be spent celebrating the engagement, with us as their guests of honor. Emperor Shifang looked over at us appreciatively and added something else in a suggestive tone I would have understood regardless of language.
The Dinorans have a long-standing tradition of concubineship, Zoya said dryly, and it is not unusual for noble visitors to present the Emperor with a few as a show of their appreciation.
He wants Princess Anessa to give him a concubine?
Lick asked incredulously.
But he just announced their engagement.
It's the custom, Shoddy confirmed. The number of wives and concubines is directly proportional to one's power and influence, or so it is believed. That he is granting Princess Anessa the status of first wife is one of the highest honors in Dinoris, considering she is foreign-born. The position is usually restricted to local nobility.
I'm flattered, Anessa said, sounding anything but.
Truly.
The Emperor spoke again. Zoya cleared her throat.
He's already made the decision, apparently. His words translated verbatim are, I am particularly enchanted by the lovely concubine in the beautiful red dress.
Me?
Lick squeaked.
I'm not sure I meet the requirements he's looking for.
Do you want to turn him down?
Princess Anessa turned back to the Emperor.
Tell him we accept the conditions if he will agree to one of our own.
Lick blanched. Kalad patted him awkwardly on the shoulder. The Emperor looked puzzled but nodded.
One of my subjects is missing. He was last heard from in Santiang, and I would like to ask the Emperor's leave to search the city for him on the morrow.
What is his name?
Anessa looked to Zoya, who nodded slightly.
His name is Neryl.
Ba Yi looked astonished, his mouth falling open. Tan Sung burst into a flurry of protests, but the younger man intervened again. They argued for several seconds before the elder withdrew, not looking happy.
That's a surprise, Zoya said. The other man insists that we be given every assistance to look for him.
He's Master's friend, Khalid said. I'm sure of it now.
The official continued to speak. Zoya listened closely. An understanding dawned on her face.
The Emperor agrees, but not tomorrow. Only after the immediate danger is over.
What immediate danger?
I am beginning to realize why the Denorans and their Emperor are so quick to push forward with this betrothal, Your Highness.
Oh, great. What is it this time? Should I be offering him more concubines? Will Kaelin suffice instead?
This is serious, Princess. Deva almost never make an appearance in Denoris, but he says there have been sightings of a gigantic frog-like creature with webbed talons and yellow eyes.
The Sovel, Fox said bleakly, his hands balling into fists.
They do not have the means of defeating it, Zoya explained. They are very eager to see the Dark Asha in action as soon as they can figure out where it is.
I spent another restless night. The army no longer posed an immediate threat, but I knew they would not give up so easily. Not with the power the Dark Asha displayed, the lengths she had proven she would go. She had risen earlier than I had again that morning, though it was clear she had less sleep than me. She sat on the throne, one leg slung over the armrest, displaying the long scar on her thigh. She had been writing again. The thick bundle of papers before her was testament to that. Lord Kaelin and the Heartforger were nowhere to be found, and I surmised that the latter, at least, had finally gotten some much-needed rest. To my surprise, she handed me some of the sheaves of paper. "If yesterday was any indication, I will have many busy days ahead of me," she said. "The rest of my story lies within these pages. Perhaps you can find a song there."
"What else are you writing?"
"A letter, for my brother to read."
She laughed.
"You look shocked."
"I assumed that you were not on cordial terms."
"That's never mattered before."
She looked down at her papers. There was a strange scar marking her right palm, silvery from age.
"If I do not survive this," she said, with less mirth this time, "then neither will he. But in the event that I succeed in my quest, he will live regardless of how I die. And I owe him an explanation. Michaela, too."
"But how?"
"Some secrets I intend to keep a little longer. Do your best not to get caught in the crossfire, Bard. We are only just beginning, and I cannot foresee the future beyond my own, however much I plan."
"They are quiet today," Lord Kaelin noted, entering the room. "But I suspect they are growing desperate."
"Let them come. I defy any of them to get past my Deva."
The Bone Witch stopped. Her eyes widened.
"But it looks like someone already has."
She rose to her feet.
"Stop!"
I looked around, but saw no one.
She sighed. "And here we have another complication. Come to me, Princess."
I still did not understand, until a cloaked girl marched stiffly into the room. Lord Kaelin's sword made a hard ringing sound as it slid out of its scabbard. Already he was halfway between us and the stranger.
"How did you sneak in here, Inessa?"
The Bone Witch's voice held grudging respect. The Death Seeker stopped in his tracks, astonished, as Lady Tia dispersed the magic surrounding the newcomer.
"Don't you remember? For a very short time, I actually ruled this kingdom. You should know. You were there."
It was a soft voice, light and lilting. The princess tugged her hood down, and I found myself staring into a beautiful face with bright blue eyes framed by reddish-brown curls. Her heart's glass gleamed cherry red.
"This is not the warm welcome I had hoped to receive," said the first daughter of Kion.
19.
"Our dungeons?"
Tansung asked, staring.
"But why?"
"We are the princess's guard," Shadi told him. "We must be kept abreast of any dangerous felons in the city, and that includes those in your dungeon."
Khalid had stayed behind to examine the sleeping Denorian princess. Princess Inessa and Lick were elsewhere for some court function. Kaelin was off to measure the scope and extent of the wards in the palace,
hoping to find the means to unravel them, leaving only Zoya, Shadi, Fox, and me. Tensung, the elder statesman, was solicitous but also very inquisitive, constantly peppering Zoya with questions. He seemed particularly interested in Dark Asha, and more than once, I felt his curious eyes on me when he thought I wasn't looking. The younger court official, Bao Yi, was the complete opposite, not bothering to hide his dislike. Clearly, he was here only because his emperor had ordered him to be, and maintained a sullen silence with us. He had a nervous-looking servant with him who appeared to be a secretary of sorts. It was unfortunate that I couldn't cast scrying on either official. I wondered what kind of minds they had. Lick had asked them about the wards around the palace and received blank stares from both. Inessa had questioned the emperor and gotten the same reaction. Either the barriers were placed without their knowing, or they were magnificent actors.
"We only have 2 prisoners at the moment," Tensung explained. "Both servants caught stealing from the kitchens. They shall be transferred to the larger jails in the city, so her betrothed will have little reason to worry."
Zoya studied the prisoners while I peeked into the other empty cells. With a sigh, I glanced down at the floor, where some bored prisoner or guard had piled a few stones in one corner. Dirt was strewn across the floor, and many of the cells had no lock. The prison cells were rarely maintained, Tensung explained, because few people would dare to commit crimes so near to the emperor. It was wishful thinking to have hoped that the old heart forger was here. It was only after we left that Bao Yi finally spoke.
"Why do you ask to examine our princess?" he demanded.
"We have a noted healer with us," Shadi explained. "He offered his services."
"What do I know of this man's qualifications? What assurances do I have that you will not poison her?"
"It is the Emperor's orders, my lord."
His secretary cleared his throat and murmured something in a soft, placating tone. Bai scowled, then barked an order to some of the soldiers.
"He wants the guards increased at Princess Yansheo's room," Shadi murmured. "He is protective of the girl."
The girl herself, Jade of the House of Wei Shu, lay sleeping on a golden bier, surrounded by flowers. A glass case separated her from the rest of the world, like she was a character from an old fairy tale. Zoya told me the glass was removed every 3 hours for the attending servants to bathe her hair and anoint her body with the choicest perfumes, which Zoya learned had been on Bao Yi's orders. To spread rumors that the princess was dead was a jailable offense.
"They found her by the gardens outside the ballroom," Khalid said quietly.
Whatever wards were in place, his forging skills remained unaffected.
"Her heart's glass is missing, but someone had drawn her heart's rune. I can still feel the spell lingering around her."
"None of the Denorians are owning up to that,"
Fox said.
"Curious."
Tensung excused himself, glancing at me as he did. Bao Yi stood over the princess and folded his arms, still glaring.
"He doesn't believe that a young girl like you is capable of putting down a sovel when their army has failed,"
Shadi whispered.
"It is the kingdoms of Trisea and Astera that hold the nearest Deva burial mounds, so Denorians know little about the beasts. They always considered Asha an ornamental profession, more to do with entertaining guests than slaying Deva."
"It is a belief they should consider amending," Zoya said shortly. "Deva have not been sighted in this kingdom for more than 500 years, but a creature's habits are never constant. Times are changing, and so must they. Once they pinpoint the current whereabouts of the Saviltia, you should prove them wrong. Show them Asa are more than concubines for princes."
"Princes? Did a prince say something to you, Zoya?"
"Not to me,"
the Asha growled. Shadi squeezed Zoya's hand.
"Don't be jealous. I declined their offers."
"Still makes me want to kick each and every one of their satin-clothed behinds."
"You know I'm for you alone, Zoya. I thought I made that very clear last night."
"Shadi!"
"I'm going to see how Khalid's faring," I said glibly, stepping away from the red-faced Zoya and her grinning lover. Fox followed me. The glass case was removed at the forger's request, but Bao Yi and the stern, harsh-looking soldiers surrounding the bier remained. Oblivious to their scrutiny, Khalid continued his examination, his gray eyes large behind his spectacles.
"Did you find anything else?"
Khalid sighed and rubbed at his eyes.
She was dancing at a ball held in honor of her 14th birthday when the sickness took her.
This is nothing we haven't heard before, Kaelin said, coming up behind us.
I'd like to show you something.
Khalid's hand hovered above the sleeping girl's chest. I saw the swirl and eddy of colors and then a faint image from the princess's point of view. A man bowing down to kiss her hand. The cut of his clothes more Adullian than Denorian. There was no mistaking his face. The vision lasted only for a few seconds before sputtering out of view. Halsrath, I gasped.
My vision is limited, Khalid said. I can pull out a stray memory or so, but not for long. This was the last thing she saw before losing consciousness. That much I can ascertain.
Kaelin frowned.
Considering my father was supposed to be in a jail cell during this time, it's something of a surprise.
But how did she get out without anyone knowing?
Fox demanded.
Short of King Telamane himself setting him free, that's impossible.
Still not as many questions as I would like answered, I confessed.
We need to discuss this in private,
Khalid said with a sidelong glance at Bao Yi.
Let's get Shadi and Zoya and return to my room. We may be the Emperor's guests, but that's not a guarantee his hospitality will hold.
Where are you going?
Bao Yi wanted to know.
How will you cure the princess?
It will take time, my lord,
Khalid told him gently.
We will do everything in our power to help her. Is there anything else you can tell us about her sickness?
The court official nodded, the scowl momentarily slipping from his face.
There is very little to say beyond what is already known. She was found sleeping in the gardens with no evidence of foul play.
Did you see anyone running away?
Bao Yi thought.
There was one person, a young upstart by the name of Xiao Yun. He was one of Princess Yan Xiao's admirers, but she had shown little interest. A few people reported seeing him leave the gardens around the time she took sick.
Khalid cleared his throat.
Lord Bao Yi, you might not remember me, but I am Narl's assistant. He introduced me to you once.
Bao Yi peered curiously at Khalid. Then his expression changed, softening.
My apologies. Khalid, wasn't it? I remember. We met at Qion once. I had no idea. Is Narl in trouble?
I don't know. He has a habit of leaving when it suits him.
Khalid lied glibly.
He hasn't returned from Santiang, and I was worried.
I am sorry we are meeting again under these circumstances.
Bao Yi thawed considerably.
The situation has been complicated further by your princess's arrival. I shall send out search parties of my own in the city.
I hope you don't mind if we still conduct our own search.
Of course not. I wish us both all the success.
His clerk hurried forward, looking harried with a clipboard tucked under his arm. He murmured something in Bao Yi's ear, and the other man nodded.
I must go. Let me know if I can be of more assistance.
We will.
Thanks.
Shadi lowered her voice as we left the room.
What are your thoughts on the Emperor and this Bao Yi, you two?
It's difficult to say for sure without a heart's glass, Khalid said. But Bao Yi does sound genuinely concerned about Master.
It might be good to keep communications with him open, Zoya decided. He might find information we may not have access to. The Emperor is an admirer of Asha, without a doubt. But it doesn't seem likely that it was he who engineered these palace wards. It must have been someone of great skill. And I don't see a Denorian having that ability.
Have you ever considered that the Elder Asha might have a hand in this? I asked quietly. Zoya's mouth fell open.
That's crazy, Tia! Whatever their mistakes, they would never sink so low as to betray Qion.
They possess a false book, much like I had.
Shadi frowned.
They might have confiscated it from someone else in the past. Do you have any other proof?
No, I was forced to admit. That Ana had told me didn't mean much either. But the pretty Asha patted me reassuringly on the shoulder.
Let's keep an open mind. I would say the Duke is a far more viable suspect in this, with more evidence stacked against him.
I take it magic isn't something they can easily get at in Denoris?
Fox asked.
Denorin emperors of old have banned the practice of magic. Some nobles once dabbled in them, or at least paid those skilled in the runes, with horrific results. The Denorians imposed little restrictions on their magic, and 20 years of war soon decimated their population. It took Odalia, Kion, and the Eidosha city-states to put an end to the fighting, and every Denorin ruler since then has pledged to never use runes. Even Heartsglass was prohibited. That they have wards in place is suspicious in itself. Using magic to prevent other people from using magic sounds a little hypocritical to me.
But Emperor Shifang himself is keen on magic?
Not quite. His interest lies in the Ozzy, for the most part, given its similarity to his royal crest.
Shoddy shrugged.
Hopefully, Emperor Shifang's fascination with Princess Anessa shall work in our favor. In the meantime, Fox, try not to get yourself stabbed. You're a little harder to explain.
I'll try, m'lady.
Khalid shut the door behind us, briefly pressing his ear against the door. Then he prowled the room, carefully tapping at the walls.
Why all the secrecy, Khalid?
We need to go into the city, the forger said quietly, pitching his voice lower. I tried earlier, but the guard stopped me under Tansung's orders.
The old man might not be as accommodating as we thought,
Kaelin growled.
Didn't they promise to allow us to search?
Sure, eventually, once the Sovel has been neutralized. Sorry, Tia, but the sooner we can get to that Deva, the sooner we can search.
I'd have done it already if I knew where it was, I said. Or if I could control the Ozzy to search for it. But how certain are you that the Heartforger is in the city?
Master keeps a small house in Santhyang.
Zoya stared at him.
Why didn't you tell us?
It slipped my mind,
Khalid admitted.
He treats patients as a regular physician would, without using any magic, so he's never gotten into trouble.
Do you know where this house is?
No, but I can find it.
Let's give ourselves a few days to assess the politics in the palace first, Zoya suggested. I do not want to have to fight my way out of another kingdom so soon. We'll need to ferret out more information about this Xiaoyun fellow. It's a long shot, but at least it's a lead. Besides, I was never one to do things halfway.
No, you don't, Shoddy said serenely. And Zoya blushed again.
It was difficult to find answers from the servants using only gestures and the most basic Denorin I knew, but I finally found the gardens where Emperor Shifang was giving Princess Anessa the royal tour. It was an immense field, with each bush carefully clipped and tailored so none were out of place, and much of the shrubbery was shaped into different variations of dragons. The emperors of Denoris, I thought, had a particular and peculiar fetish. I felt Fox's irritation. My brother leaned against a tree, glowering. Princess Anessa's Heartsglass told me she was bored, though she sent enthusiastic nods and wide smiles her fiancé's way. She maintained a death grip on her collar, and frequently snuck glances back at Fox to reassure herself she was not alone with the Emperor. I could understand his impatience. Every day we lingered, the chance of Prince Kant's dying increased. Not for the first time, I cursed the barriers. Without them, we might have found the old forger by now, broken Inessa's engagement under the threat of the Ozzy, and left.
Tell me more about Denorin empresses, Inessa said sweetly. Were they brave fighters? Did they take command of armies?
They were as able as men,
came the proud response, translated through Tansung.
Emperors are selective when it comes to wives. Should a ruler become incapacitated, they take over in his stead and command the same obedience. When Emperor Hansun fell dangerously ill, it was Empress Kalka who led the army to victory against Trisea, with only 600 men against their 1,000. And Queen Mei Li successfully conquered Arinkosho when she married the sickly Emperor Jian, losing that kingdom only after her death. All young, blushing innocents before their marriage, as is required of them, naturally, yet with the courage of the gods in their blood. And with you by my side, my love, we shall lead Denoris into further greatness.
He took her hand and kissed the inside of her wrist. Chagrin surged out at me from Fox's end.
Where's Lick?
I asked quietly.
I think Anessa took pity on him and sent him to his room,
was the terse response.
You know, if you're really bothered by this, you should speak up.
Who said it was bothering me?
You're not as good at hiding your emotions as you were before I first drew the veiling, Fox.
He scowled at me.
That's none of your business.
That's never stopped you before.
I don't like it, all right? It's one thing to be engaged to Prince Kantz. It's another to be betrothed to an emperor from another kingdom she knows nothing about. I saw the way he eyes her. She isn't a person to him. She's just another expensive ornament to display. I'd like to strangle that royal neck.
We've been in the Denorian Palace for barely a day, Fox. Let's not set the fastest world record for bad manners.
I'm not going to lose my temper in front of her. I'm just...
You're what?
I don't know. Nothing.
It was not like Fox to sound so helpless, and my heart went out to him. I could have told Fox to forget her, that Anessa was capable of handling herself, or failing that, her choices were her own to bear. But living inside his head and being more susceptible to his emotions changes one's perspective.
Talk to her. She's as scared about this as you are. You can't be this dense.
He didn't try to deny it.
Not when the Emperor is glued to her side all day, drooling like a little lapdog.
Do I have to do everything myself?
I didn't know if I was breaking Denorian protocol by approaching the Emperor, but I did it anyway.
Your Majesty?
My Denorian was terrible, so I directed the words to Tansung.
I'm sure you must have questions about the Ozzy. Perhaps if you have time today...
The Emperor brightened at the mention of the Ozzy.
But of course,
Tansung said with some reluctance.
Perhaps after His Majesty has shown Princess Anessa around the rest of the gardens. Oh, that won't be necessary,
Princess Anessa broke in cheerfully.
I've taken up far too much of His Majesty's time today, and I'm quite tired. I think I shall retire to my rooms. I would appreciate it if he can keep Lady Tia company.
Tansung relayed this to the Emperor, who nodded.
If you say so, Princess. Some of the other concubines shall accompany you back to...
That won't be necessary either, Princess Anessa said, shying away from the suggestion.
I'll escort her back,
Fox interrupted. Tansung looked scandalized, and Princess Anessa hurriedly added,
He's my personal guard, after all. I'm used to having him near.
A muscle ticked in Fox's jaw, but he said nothing else. Emperor Shifang looked puzzled, but nodded once her request was translated. He took Anessa's hands in his and kissed them again.
Until we meet again, Qin Ai,
he said in the common tongue, with only the slightest accent.
Qin Ai, my ass,
Fox growled as he stomped after the Qian princess. The Emperor was inquisitive and not as oblivious or as simple as he first appeared. With Tansung acting as translator, he asked me several questions about the Ozzy, and I told him how instead of killing the Deva, I had found myself bonded to it, leaving a Nas roll out of the tale.
I am glad you did not, he said. Dragons have always been a symbol of prosperity in Denorus. We have always considered the Ozzy a noble beast. And you control it?
My influence is absolute, Your Majesty. I lied, not wanting any suggestions of weakness. It is a good companion to me.
I understand that Qian is quite different from the true kingdom. I have only been to Onkyo twice, and your customs are perplexing.
I can understand why. In Qian, for example, the practice of concubinage has fallen out of use. Emperor Shifang looked startled and laughed.
I thought Asha were something of concubines themselves. Now I understand your surprise when I asked for Lady Lick. We did not mean to offend you.
Does this mean His Majesty will no longer pursue, Lady Lick? The man shook his head.
As I have decreed, so it must be done. Lady Lick will be treated well. Royal concubines are highly respected here. Many would consider this an honor.
So much for extricating Lick. We are accustomed to taking only one wife or husband in Kion. The Emperor shrugged.
I come from an unbroken line, descended from gods, and can take as many to wife as I wish.